In the world of professional soccer, emotions run high and setbacks can be devastating. But sometimes the most profound wisdom comes from the most unexpected sources. I'd like to start this talk by sharing a scene from Ted Lasso, one that surprisingly relates to our theme of the practice of presence.
Flowers, because this spot here is where Sam died. It's very sad.
All right, walk away, you little prick.
All right, Grandad, keep your wig on.
Thanks, Ron.
There you go. Hey, Sam, where is that?
Coach, I'm sorry.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? Goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah? Yeah, you got it. Go ahead now. Hey, Nate.
You know, when I first saw the scene, I was shocked. Mostly because I thought a dog, with their constant wagging tails and unconditional love, was the happiest animal in the world. But nope, I was wrong. It's the goldfish, with their 10-second memory. We humans, with our 10-decade memory, approach things a bit differently. This longer memory is a wonderful gift that allows us to learn from our mistakes, protect ourselves from future harm, and advance society as a whole. But it doesn't come without faults. For our gift of memory and planning also makes it hard for us to live in the moment. And who can blame us for not living in the moment? At this given moment, I have drama from Thanksgiving echoing in my head. I have 83 unread work emails and another 20 personal emails to respond to. I have two kids that are constantly competing for my attention, a political transition coming up very fast, my parents' health is declining a little bit every day, and on top of that, my phone is currently on silent, but I'm pretty sure if it wasn't, it would have dinged several times since I started talking. Living in the past, the present, and the future all at once is exhausting. But according to Coach Lasso, just living in the present can help. So what exactly does it mean to live in the present? Living in the moment means being fully engaged and aware of what is happening right now, without distraction from thoughts about the past or worries about the future. It's about experiencing life as it unfolds, without mentally rushing ahead or falling behind. Imagine your entire lifespan, from your left arm to your right. All on one side holds everything that's happened before. Your birth, your upbringing, your schooling, your love life. Everything on the other side is your future, none of which has happened yet. Both sides are huge, filled with tons of moments. Yet this little slice right here in the middle, about a hair thick, is the present. It's kind of weird when you think about it this way because the present is such a tiny, thin slice of your life. Yet it's the only part of your life that matters. Everything in the future has not happened and may never happen. And there's nothing you can change about the past. The present is the most important part of your life. Living in the present also means having mindful awareness of your surroundings, emotions, and thoughts in this exact moment. It's a practice of noticing what's happening both externally, the sights, sounds, and sensations around you, and internally, your thoughts and feelings, without judgment or distraction. It's letting go of the past, whether regrets, unresolved issues, or memories. It doesn't mean ignoring the past, but rather not letting them dominate your current state of mind. It's not worrying about the future, not letting your thoughts about the unknown cause anxiety or distract from what's happening now. It doesn't mean ignoring the future altogether, but rather balancing future planning with a focus on today. It's savoring the simple moments, allowing you to appreciate small, everyday experiences that might otherwise go unnoticed. Whether it's the smell of the rain, the sound of the birds singing, or feeling the sun on your skin, you become attuned to the richness of life's simple pleasures. Presence also fosters a greater connection to your environment and the people around you. When you live in the moment, you're more attuned to the nuances of social interactions and the energy of those around you and the beauty of the world. Here are some examples that helped me understand a little better. During a conversation, instead of thinking about what you're going to say next or being distracted by your phone, you actively listen, focusing on the choice of words, tone, and body language of the person speaking. While eating, rather than rushing through a meal or thinking about the next task, you savor each bite, noticing the flavors, textures, and aroma of the food. On a walk, instead of thinking about your to-do list, you pay attention to the feel of your feet on the ground, the sights and sounds of nature, and the rhythm of your breath. So why is it important to live in the present? There are a ton of benefits. It reduces stress and anxiety. We're not constantly worried about the future or dwelling on the past. It improves focus and clarity. Because we can give our full attention to what we're doing, we see more clearly and we make decisions from a place of awareness rather than distraction. It enhances relationships, allowing us to form deeper, more meaningful connections. It also heightens joy and appreciation, fosters creativity and inspiration, and limits regret and missed opportunities. In short, living in the moment allows us to lead more mindful, joyful, and connected lives. It offers an antidote to the stress that often clouds our experiences of the present, helping us live more fully and authentically. But don't just take it from me. Take it from my therapists as well. Yep, there's been a few times in my life where I sought the help of therapy, and it was interesting to me looking back that both times I was told to be more present. The first time I went, I was told to simply take it one day at a time. Don't think about tomorrow, and if today is too much, just focus on the next hour. This was at a time in my life where I had the next decade planned out in my head. And to save you from a long story, it felt like my life was starting over from scratch. But to be honest, this advice, as simple as it was key to me getting through a tough time and moving forward to a better period in my life. The second time I went to a therapist, I was told about philosophy. He illustrated our brain into three parts, the front, middle, and back. The front focuses on the future, and when we live there, we are plagued with worry and anxiety. The back focuses on the past, and when we live there, we're overcome with depression and regret. Yet if we focus in the middle, then we are living in the present, and that is where we will find happiness. He then went on to teach me five activities that encourage mindfulness and presence in order to live in this middle part of the brain. The first one was meditation. And I hate to say it, but I am the worst at meditating. I've tried so many times, and all I succeed in is just taking a few deep breaths. And that's still helpful. But I'm not going to speak much to this right now, but I will see you next time Nika offers a meditation retreat. Number two, exercise. If I'm exercising well enough, I don't have the oxygen in my brain to worry about anything. I'm too focused on making sure my legs don't give out. And that's a good thing. And since I rarely meditate, I like to consider exercise as my way of giving my brain a break. Number three, he said, rest. I first interpreted this as sleeping and taking naps, which I got really excited about. But I think what he wanted me to get out of it was that it's okay to not be doing something. It's okay to be bored. In fact, some of my best inspirations come from when I'm bored. The other day I heard someone refer to us as human doings instead of human beings. And I thought that was quite fitting. It's okay to just be. Number four, creativity. He encouraged me to make something, write, play music, invent, be a kid. Creating something forces you to use the parts of your brain that work in the now. And finally, contemplation. He described this as sitting on a beach, staring into the waves, pondering the meaning of life. I practice this as sitting on my front porch at the start of a weekend, admiring the vastness of the sky. In preparation for this talk, I looked through a few books. One of them was by Dr. Richard Carlson. He shares a story about publishing one of his books. It turns out that one of his first books was endorsed by a best-selling author, and he was hoping to get another endorsement on his next upcoming book. He wrote this person asking for a review and for permission to reprint his previous endorsement, but he never heard back. He was bummed, but he moved on. However, once the books went on to press, he realized there had been a huge mistake because the endorsement, which he did not have permission to use, was big and bold on the front cover. He freaked out, worried about what legal trouble he's going to get into or if he was going to have to pay out of his own pocket to reprint the books. He reached out to that author once again, this time offering a 3-page long apology. And this time he heard back, though the response he got was simply 2 bullet points. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. So he got to keep the endorsement, and he loved that advice so much that he ended up turning it into another bestseller, which you might have heard before, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. Quick side note, some of you may have noticed that the opening clip that I shared had a few bad words in it. Somehow I didn't realize this until I was too deep into the topic, and I got worried about playing this as part of the service. This is a sacred place with wonderful people whom I respect and do not want to disappoint with foul language. So I started thinking, should I skip the video? And then how would I get the message across? Should I figure out how to edit it so I can beep it out? And then do I use a beep or do I just do silence? And then how would I do that? Do I have to download it? What kind of software do I need? Do I have to buy that? How do I learn this software? Am I going to be able to get it done in time? And then I came across this story, and I thought, maybe I'm sweating the small stuff. The kids will have been dismissed, and as long as I don't talk like a sailor for the rest of the service, I think it'll be okay. So as you know, I didn't bother to edit the video, and if that was the wrong choice, I apologize. Please take it up with me. But know that I was simply trying to practice this topic and avoid letting worry overcome my present. There are actually a lot of great tips in this book that relate to being present. He talks about how many of us live our lives rushing around as though it were a big emergency, and it doesn't need to be that way. He reminds us that when we die, we're still going to have items on our to-do list. We convince ourselves that once we get through our list, we will be accomplished and be happy, but in reality, the list will never end. He suggests setting aside quiet time for ourselves every day, something as simple as scheduling 10 minutes where you can be alone and distraction-free, and that will do wonders for your mind. He proposes we stop multitasking, for when we do too many things at once, not only are we far less focused, but we also lose out on any enjoyment of the current activity. This one hit home to me. Has anyone ever had a bowl of dessert in their hands, the TV on in the background, and perhaps you're also on your phone, and then you realize you've eaten all of your ice cream and you didn't even taste it? All those calories for nothing. Because I was multitasking. In short, he argues that we should spend less time worrying, especially about future events which may never happen, as he quotes Mark Twain, who said, "I have been through some terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened." I've come to realize that with many things in life, there's no simple solution, and the answer to becoming present is different for every person. So I invite you to spend some time trying out some of the ideas mentioned and be patient when they don't work out. Many of them failed me, but over the course of about a month, I realized what did work for me. And here's what worked for me. Focusing on my senses, sight, smell, taste, hearing, touch, by iterating through each of those and spending a minute observing what my senses are experiencing, I can be brought to the current moment. Doing one thing at a time or even nothing at all. I'm always guilty of trying to be the most efficient I can be, but that comes at a cost of my sanity. Picking a single activity or realizing that I don't need to be doing anything has helped me. I used to always bring an activity like a book to read while my daughter had her soccer practices, and this season I tried doing nothing and just watching them practice. It allowed me to learn all the players' names, get to know the coaches better, and really enjoy their games. Third thing that works for me is to play. Try and be a kid again. Could be sports or a board game. Just letting yourself be silly like a kid. This is my version of being a goldfish. You know what a kid doesn't do? They don't doom scroll on social media. They don't worry about the news. Another thing that helps if I notice I'm constantly distracted by worry is I write down my stressors. Putting them into a list allows me to put them somewhere other than my head. And then I can come up with a plan for each worry and free my head to focus on the present. And lastly, that advice you said about realizing that life isn't an emergency. I have a note card taped on my desk at work that says, slow down. Because for some reason, even if I'm not late, I'm always rushing. Seeing that note helps me take some deep breaths and reduce my speed. When you experiment with your own path to finding presence, it's going to be hard, but know that you're not alone. It is hard because it is so easy to be distracted. We are constantly bombarded with interruptions, news, socials, phones. We're trained at work not to be idle, to be constantly effective. We're trained by entertainment to have short attention spans. And we also feel like we must be entertained at all times. But don't forget, it's okay to be bored. For many of us, our lives are so filled with stimuli and responsibilities that it's almost impossible to sit and do nothing, even for a few minutes. I once had a friend say to me, "Did you know I have an app that tells me every time my friends go to the bathroom?" I thought, "Why would you want that?" And he said, "You have it too." And then he sent me this screenshot of someone playing Words with Friends. And it took me a second to realize that he was implying that every time his friends go to the bathroom, they're reaching for their phones and making a move on this game. And he wasn't wrong. How crazy is it that most of us can't stand to be alone without entertainment for the few minutes it takes for us to do our business? It's like we can't tolerate being alone with our own thoughts. But when you do allow yourself to be bored, it takes an enormous amount of pressure off you to be performing and doing something every second of every day. And I know this sounds counterproductive, but sometimes doing nothing can make you more effective. Some of my best ideas come from being in the shower, where I am distraction-free. And when I'm stumped at a problem at work, taking a walk and coming back 20 minutes later almost always reveals the answer to me. Does anyone else struggle with being on their phones too much? I know I have a problem, and I'm usually okay when I'm around others, but if I'm by myself and I have a few minutes to kill, I have a habit of taking it out. It's not healthy. I know it takes me away from the moment. So over the last month, I've been actively trying to reduce my screen time. I first installed a tool that would report how much time I wasted. No luck. Then I moved my shortcuts so my time-wasting apps wouldn't be on my home screen. That didn't work either. Next, I installed an app that would cut me off after a time limit was reached. It helped a little bit, but what really helped me was to simply delete apps. You don't have to delete your accounts. They're still there, and if you want to go onto your computer or laptop when you intentionally want to do that, you can. But not having some apps on my phone has been freeing. And for those that are scared to make that move, I get it. True story, it took me being angry at my phone before I actually deleted any apps. It was right after the election. My phone had convinced me that I knew what the outcome was going to be. And when the results came out, I felt lied to. My phone had deceived me. My apps were no longer my friend. I got pissed. I deleted some apps. I finally deactivated my Twitter account. And I realized that those apps were putting me in an echo chamber, showing me things that it knew I liked, and not giving me a real dose of reality. I didn't like that. So now my phone can be boring at times, and I'll bring it out when I have a moment, and I'll stare at the screen and look for something fun to do, and when I realize there's nothing there, I'll put it away, and I'm happy about that. But we can't always be in the present, right? It's true, we can't. There are times that we do need to plan ahead. We do need to recall our past mistakes and prepare for the future. Adapting from the past and worrying about the future can be helpful tools within reason. But I think the key is that we absolutely can be out of the moment if we're intentional about it. If we need to budget for next month, great. Set aside some time to do that and then return to the moment. If you want to recall memories from last year, do it. Just don't stay there. Do your best not to get lost in the past or the future. And if it helps to schedule blocks of time to allow yourself to do this, you can. In the season finale of Ted Lasso, the team suffered a heartbreaking championship loss. Let's see how Coach Ted reacts. Is he going to be mad?
Goldfish.
Is he going to be a goldfish? What's he going to be?
So look, I'm good, thank you. Hey, y'all played a heck of a game out there. We may not have won, but y'all definitely succeeded. I mean, you gave the champs 90 minutes of hell. Zero, where you at? That dude had more saves than a Baptist preacher. Give it up to Zero. Yep. What about Roy? Roy chased down his grandson, stopping him from getting an easy one. Now look, this is a sad moment right here for all of us. There ain't nothing I can say standing in front of you right now that can take that away. But please, do me this favor, will you? Lift your heads up, look around this locker room. Yeah? Look at everybody else in here. And I want you to be grateful that you're going through this sad moment with all these other folks. Because I promise you, there is something worse out there than being sad, and that is being alone and being sad. Ain't nobody in this room alone. Sam, do you remember what animal has the shortest memory?
A goldfish.
That's right. The goldfish. Sam, what do you think we should all do once we get done being sad and or angry about this situation?
I think we should all be a goldfish.
I agree. Let's be sad now. Let's be sad together. And then we can be a gosh darn goldfish. On forward.
It's not a good scene. Any new Ted Lasso fans? Did it convert anyone? I want to point out, he didn't say, don't be sad. He didn't say, ignore the sadness. He set a boundary. He allowed you to feel it, but then wanted you to move past it and then live in the moment again. When I was working on this talk, my daughter Scarlett asked me about it, and so I told her about a goldfish's memory. And she was quick to correct me. Dad, it's not true. On Mythbusters, I saw that they trained a goldfish to go through a maze, so their memories are definitely longer than 10 seconds. I said, well, thank you for destroying my entire talk. It's a little too late to change, so I'm going to act like I have a 10-second memory and pretend that I didn't hear that. So this upcoming week, I invite you all to take a few minutes out of your busy lives and be like a goldfish, just not one from Mythbusters. Blessed be and amen. Please rise and bow your spirit now to sing our closing.